Hey, Anton.
Yeah, Margaret?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
The video chat scene. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friend sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Margaret, what are we talking about today?
Today we will be having a discussion of the cinematography in Season 1, Episode 3.
Woohoo! In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode because we already did that. If you need to watch a refresher, head back 3 episodes in our feed to our most recent This Week Hilarska for a full breakdown. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You've been warned.
Love it. Okay. I think we both started at 50 seconds.
Yes, we did. Same as last episode. In my notes, I wrote just the piano scene. Hello. Specifically, I love just Phyllis' perspective shot looking in at Simon.
Yeah.
I mean, I love everything about this scene, but like I wanted to specifically shout out that I think of Art of the Frame as like kind of like every frame a painting sort of thing, whereas like what are the shots that I just feel like visually like get me most in the feels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How about you?
I agree. I think I'm just a sucker for seeing the scenes as the characters do. So anytime we get this perspective of one of the actors and not just like a third person, I think I kind of lose my shit a little.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And also just the really warm golden lighting. It just makes me emotional.
Fair.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You have rowing.
I do. I feel like this is just an appreciation moment for me of just how fucking beautiful it is.
Yeah.
It really has little to nothing to do with like the frame and more what's in the frame, but fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's like choice of set, choice of location and everything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, literally having August in the shot ruins it for me.
That's so valid.
He just like sucks up all of like the annoying energy, or like the focus is just on him for me.
That's so valid, but he's not in it at the beginning of the scene.
Fair.
It cuts to him.
That's
so
fair.
You can find beauty in the first like 5 seconds.
Very, very fair. Next, I want to, similar to what you were saying before, just like the scenes where we're in each other's perspectives, but for me, what really gets me is anytime we do Villa and Simon back and forth, and like in the locker room scene, and like the exchange of glances, I just love it because it's like we're stuck in the middle of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and if like we are the camera, like, we like,
callback was
like,
that our first episode?
It was
our first cycle
Art of the Frame. Yeah first cycle. Ugh, of the frame.
Callback. Okay, sorry, keep going.
You're good. Like, but if like we are the camera, like we're like bouncing back and forth between these two people and just being like, it's just like it almost does feel like literal, like in the middle of the tension, just like being like,
like you feel a little uncomfy about it.
Yeah. Especially since, like, I mean, because I'm sure I summarized the scene. Like, it's the classic, like, we see the other person looking at them, but the other person isn't looking at them. And so it's like we only see them looking at someone who isn't looking at them. And then, like, they, like, exchange, like, a single glance. And it's like, Villa is about to say something, and then August says something, and then Villa doesn't hear August, but it still like is enough to like pull him out of it. And just that frame of focus is all the time Simon needs to just leave. It's just a really well choreographed thing, where it's just like where I mean, it's one of the many moments in this lead up, like, because this is right before the Queer Panic montage.
Absolutely.
where it's like you as the audience feel this like building tension inside of Wilhelm in the face of just like the kind of wall that science put up. So
yeah.
Simon's Instagram, you have.
I do, and I don't remember what I wanted to say about it, which is really tragic.
You're just saying like he's death scrolling.
He is death scrolling. What I wrote was death scrolling Simon's Instagram, and I think I meant if I had to get in the head of past Margaret about 24 hours ago, I think I meant just like, I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I meant just like we see him.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those moments that we like first started shouting out in the first cycle in We Are the Camera.
Yeah.
Where like the moments when we are the only ones seeing Wilhelm.
Yeah. And it's like, he's not, there's no like facade there.
Right.
We see him like his no facade face, and then we can also see exactly what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And we know that he's alone in his room.
Yeah, it's a moment of like naked wanting and like desire. Like it's this moment of he's not having to put up a front for everybody, so we can actually see the struggle that we've been hinting at the entire episode up to this point.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to shout out something shortly after that, which is Villa looking in the mirror after seeing that hetero couple making
out. Oh, yeah. I can't believe I forgot to put that.
Yeah. It's like the peak of the Queer Panic montage, because it's like most emo moment in the entire episode.
So emo. Yeah.
I mean, emo affectionate. Like,
yeah, emo affectionate.
Yeah. It's just, like, again, like, coming back to just shots that make you feel things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, there's nothing revolutionary about it, but it's, as one of my favorite YouTubers says, a simple meal well made. Like, it's, like, just, like, it's, like, a character looking themselves in the mirror and doing some self-reflection. It's just, like, classic existentialism.
Oh, big time. Big time. Okay. And then my next scene was the video chat. What was yours?
I have some stuff before that. I think this is similar to last time. I think you kind of... I think, remember last time your side kind of skipped over a lot of Parents' Day?
It did. Mostly because I got secondhand embarrassment and I didn't want to watch Felice kiss Wilhelm again.
That's fair.
Thank you.
Something I wanted to shout out that I noticed when I was summarizing for this with Galerska, and like maybe save this partially for Purple and Orange, but I'm just like, I also at this point just don't really fully know what it means. It's still something I've noticed. The cars coming down the road as they're approaching Parents' Day is mirrored by Rosh and I's motorcycles later.
Oh, shit.
Like, just, like, the approach to Halershka.
Yeah.
It's, like, both time, like, I mean, it could be just as simple as, just like, this is how we're kind of coding, like, outsiders coming to Halershka, but it is kind of just this interesting parallel of, like, who is approaching and, like, who, I mean, ooh. Actually, I'll say it for Purple and Orange, but it just kind of does kind of tie back to, I think, the kind of night and day theming that we thought of last time.
Yeah.
Where it's like the Rosh and I were coming at night and the other coming in the day. So. Because that's like the one big difference between the shot. So.
Yeah. Goddamn.
Yeah. And then I think you had this in Art of the Choice, but I had it in this one. Villa's just extreme close-up smiling after the school song. Yeah. Which I think what you called like church scene, church scene two. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like we're even more close up than we were in the first episode.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, I mean, in kind of a literal way, you can be like, we as the audience are now closer to Wilhelm. Like, mm-hmm. we know him better.
Yeah.
And it's also even more of like an illuminating smile. Like, he's like, he is just like lit up from the inside. Just like,
yeah.
We're like in it now. And we're like, okay, investment. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, yeah. Sure. It is really just a very absorbing shot. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Evan has we kind of hinted to last episode, like, Evan definitely has a way of capturing the screen, but like, the shots are very much setting him up to just be like, when he's the only thing in your face, you're just like, okay. I'm looking. Okay.
Even when he's not the only thing in my face, I'm looking. So.
And it's like.
Like, how you just brush past my bullshit now. You didn't even acknowledge it.
I feel like I've always done that.
That's true.
Especially.
Yeah.
It's to the point where sometimes I feel like I just disregard your jokes because I don't know which ones I'm meant to take seriously.
All of them.
Just cool moment of being inside Villa's head. Mm-hmm. But okay, a thing I noticed with the class photo, I think it's only third years and their parents in the shot.
I think you're right.
So I think it might be like a graduation thing.
Maybe.
Like their last parents' day. Cause like I suddenly realized, I paused it and I was like, wait a second. Where is like all the first two characters?
Where are all the characters we actually know the names of besides August, Nils, and Vincent?
Exactly. And I saw August, Nils, and Vincent, and I saw no one else. And I'm like, okay. Which, side note, I just realized, like, I guess it makes sense that we wouldn't know them, but, like, the fact that we don't know a single third-year girl.
We don't know a single second-year anybody.
Yeah.
Like, we know nobody. Even first years, we really only know Simon and Wilhelm, and then Walter and Henry.
Yeah, and I think fans have given a lot of fans have given a couple first years names. I think, but like that's for fan fiction purposes.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can talk about the video chat. You're cold open.
I'd love to. I feel like in a lot of shows, and maybe this isn't right and it's just how I feel, but when I feel like I have to preface that because I don't know everything. I just have feelings.
As the one who studied literary criticism or media criticism, rationalizing your feelings is like most of the advice I got in coming up with essay ideas, or at least that's the approach I took to it. I'm like, I need to find the thing I cared about and then try to explain why I care about it and it matters. So that's what we're doing.
That's really all we're doing here. I feel like in other shows, when characters are FaceTiming or video chatting or whatever you want to call it, You will go back and forth and you'll be like third person of each side of the call.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, I felt like I was in the phone. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's definitely the framing of the shot. Like, it's like the camera is almost the angle of the phone without it being weird. That weird, the weird and like probably jarring thing that would be with like we were actually like looking from like. It, like at their chins.
But like you almost are.
Yeah, you almost are, yeah.
But it's like just they made that angle a little bit more flattering.
Yeah.
Than most people do in their video chats.
The one thing I wanted to highlight was like a very specific shot / almost like specific frame that I think about every time I see this scene.
Okay.
the moment when it's just Villa's hand or like arm in the shot.
Like when he's playing with the pant leg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weirdly one of the things that like makes me the most feral in this episode.
That's the thing that makes you the most feral one in of them, this yeah. episode?
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know. We've already had so many discussions about the way the show depicts anxiety so accurately.
But no, like, but we should have another.
Yeah, but it's like, because it's like, if I'm not mistaken, it comes right after you've met someone.
Yeah. Or at the very, yeah. Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. And so it's like, all of a sudden, like, we see just this, like, sudden, like, physicalization of his anxiety. And like it's like a shot that doesn't make like logical sense, but it makes so much emotional sense to me. It's like, why would you just focus on the why would you just focus on the arm and like the hand like on the lower leg? Like that doesn't like it's like there's nothing like special about that hand. Nothing's like,
but there is though. Happening.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just like this little bit of all we need is that to know like, oh, We're having feelings about this, and we're trying to, keep it under control.
Yes.
And then, you just had the lunch scene, so I'm curious to see what. I mean, I have part of the lunch scene, but it's like the latter half of the lunch scene. So, is there anything like before Villa shows up that you want to shout out?
No, just like, I don't know, the way they capture just how fucking grand they've made it in there.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a fancy, like, we see how fancy it is in every, like, other shot where you can actually see the school.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount that they've dressed it up and the way that they capture it and the way the light is coming in and it makes everything, like, sparkle is ridiculous.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember. I know they showed them taking everything down after Parents' Day, but did they show them setting up?
They showed, so, like, when Simon is unhinged and trying to like following August like through like setting up.
After he gets the invoice, right? Yeah. After he gets the invoice and then he goes to confront August to get his money.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah. And so it's like, I think the way the show kind of takes special care to like either subtly or like very explicitly show just like the amount of like work and like staff.
Yeah.
Like the show had to go into the extra effort of like hiring like 3 or 4 extras who are not in like any other part of the show just to show the amount of labor that goes into
just to set up one lunch.
And I just want to talk about the moment Villa rejects August and goes over to Simon and Bruce's table.
I think we should always talk about that moment, to be honest.
Because it's like, I don't know, it's so funny. I think I mentioned it in Revolution about how hilarious I find it, but it's just like, it's also just shot really well. It's just like every time I think about like either watching it for the first time or every time I see a reaction of it, it's like that, it is literally like that moment for like from August's perspective where you're like, ha ha ha, but then like we know Villa's head's at, and so all of a sudden we get why Villa rejects him, but then August doesn't, and so it's just this sudden like switch up of like, whose perspective are we in? And the like, just like sudden, like there's a real satisfaction of like knowing why August is being rejected. But then like, just, yeah.
I just think I'm satisfied anytime August gets rejected.
Yeah. No, and that's valid.
Thank you. It's just how
and then Ricard, like rubbing salt in the wound by being like, I thought he was going to sit with you.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Oh, that naive man. But also, I even wonder if Louise knows what's going on. Like, her and August seem to have, like, had, like, zero contact, so.
Yeah.
No. No, but it's just, like, it's so, it's really well done.
It's very well done.
And then, I don't have anything for a little bit, you want to talk about the lake shot?
Yeah, just because it's beautiful again. That's really all I have to say about it.
No, yeah. Because like, this is Villa being happy this time, right?
By the lake. Yeah, it is. And I think that's also beautiful. So I feel like we need to soak that up because it's about to get ripped away from us.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So let's take a moment, appreciate, like, happy Wilhelm and pretty scenery.
Yeah, well, because, like, last episode, you think you shouted out Villa walking through the woods being angsty.
Yeah, so and we had angsty Wilhelm and beautiful scenery, and now we have happy Wilhelm and beautiful scenery, and I think we need to shout both of those out.
Yeah. So I want to then shout out something else from that montage, which is just the quick shot of Felice crying on her bed.
Yeah, let's shout it out.
Because it's like all that we need in order to set up what happens later in the episode between her and August.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just the one connecting node that I needed to know where we got.
Yeah, it would have felt out of place without that little, like, second.
Like, you could argue that wasn't absolutely necessary, but it definitely clears up a whole lot of things of, like, establishing.
I would kind of argue that it was necessary, because I would have felt very blindsided without it.
No, yeah. Like, it establishes her mindset and, like, how much she's, like, dwelling on this. Like you could plausibly believe she's moved on or, like, tried to, like, forget about it. But this, but that's just the one scene where, like, oh, no, she's dwelling on it and she's, like, really in her feelings about
it. She's going to sleep with a second cousin instead.
Oh, yeah. I want to cut out 2624 is the return of that road shot, but this time with Ayub and Rosh's motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. That night and day analogy we came up with last cycle is really fucking me up.
Yeah, I really hope it keeps carrying through. Because I'm gonna lose it.
I'm gonna lose my shit. Both if it does and if it doesn't, because it's fucking me up.
Yeah. Just the queer nuance of night.
Night is gay.
Yeah. You said it.
And I'll say it again.
And in night, and in Royals, day is straight.
Whoop.
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 So what I'm hearing is, next time somebody says, Margaret, why'd you stay up so late? I can say, because I'm gay. And that can be an acceptable... And it wasn't to watch the entirety of Ice Age. And not just one movie, all of them.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm about to ruin our day a little bit.
Why?
After Ayub and Rosh leave Simon, he's left alone.
Oh, I thought we were going to get to talk about him beating up August. Okay, now I'm sad again. Keep going.
Yeah, I
didn't either, but I was hoping.
I think it's like a tiny parallel to 1x01 Villa. When we're talking about when we talk about him feeling
so small,
Eric leaves him. It just gives me a bit similar vibes.
Lost puppy. You're talking about when Eric leaves and he's in the hallway?
Yeah.
And then when Ayub and Rosh leave and he's just like in front of his house. Oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, but at least, I mean, Simon at least gets abandoned in front of his house.
That's, fuck, you're right. Yeah, you could just go into his room and get made fun of by his sister.
Yeah, but also, you bet your ass we're going to talk about Ayub and Rosh in one of the character episodes.
Are they going to get their own character episode?
They might. It's like, I don't know if they feature enough in this episode, but like they might need one.
I feel like we could do.
We could do Love Among. We could do it in. We could do it in Love Among Royals. I think.
That's true.
Yeah. But.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to them because I have thoughts, and I feel like they might be. I can't tell how divisive they are. It's just very interesting. All right. The sudden Felice outside August's door.
It's so scary.
It is. It's like it literally is framed in this like we're like it's like a classic like we're behind like the behind the back shot.
Yeah.
Where it's like suddenly she appears and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, because that scene starts and he's just like staring at himself in the mirror, like contemplating who even knows what, and August's thoughts, and then all of a sudden there's Felice.
Yeah. Well, because he's thinking like, oh no, what do I do? Like I'm being threatened. Like, I don't know how intimidated he is by Simon, but like,
I feel like he's probably not intimidated by Simon himself, but like,
I think he's intimidated by the fact that Simon knows his secret now too.
Yes.
That's honestly probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like, he's done a lot to hide that up until this point. So.
Oh yeah.
Like, by omission. Like, he hasn't lied to anyone necessarily, but... Well, wait.
Right, nobody has asked, what's your financial sitch? I mean, I guess
he lied to Annette. He lied to Annette.
Kind of did. Yeah.
Yeah, he lied to Annette because saying his mom was on vacation.
I mean, we don't know she traveling. May have been.
I guess, yeah, maybe. But, like, if they're bankrupt, why are they traveling?
I don't know. Rich people are weird.
That's fair. And then, for some reason, neither of us said anything else for the next 5 minutes until the end of the episode when we...
Yeah, because we were just waiting for the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We were going to get heartbroken.
Yeah, because it's not like there aren't frames of shot out in the, like, little last moments of happiness that we get, but...
It's kind of overshadowed.
It's very much overshadowed by... Like, you wrote down the phone call montage, and I wanted to specifically highlight Wilhelm breaking down at the end.
Yes.
I mean, I use that as the episode art for This Week in Hilarishka for this cycle, so.
Yes. Yeah. I think the, like, I don't even know how long it is, but it can't be more than a few seconds of him. We're kind of almost in the hallway, but he's in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, puts his head in his hands.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm really, it's uniquely, like, film way of telling a scene. Like, it's uniquely cinematic. Because you can't really do that in a book.
Like, no.
I mean, the closest you can do is, like italics, like in people's thoughts, if like they're like remembering something as they're like in the present moment, but it gets way more jarring than it is in film, where you can kind of just cut between the two locations and like also have voiceover overlapping. It's just like you can just add a lot more dimensionality with this type of storytelling, and it's just like, I really think if like there's any series of shots that's gonna stick with you from this entire show, like, it's one of the ones that like just live, this is probably on its way out, but it lives rent free in my head.
But it does. It's there. It's stuck.
Not to horribly date this podcast already, because I think it's probably already out as a saying. But
it's fine. Yeah. We're 22 years old. It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, I'm almost 23. Oop.
What?
Next month.
You're a January baby?
Yeah. A nice short one, unless you have anything to say.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. Episode 3 keeps being a weird one, and I don't know why.
I feel like it just leaves us in such a weird place that it's just, there's no good way to end these episodes.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of like the amount we're having to say and like how we're saying it, it's just like
last episode was long, but this one's short.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a transition episode a little bit too.
Yeah.
Like, as we kept saying, like, it's like the last moments of some things and it's like the first moments of others. Like, it's like things are definitely moving along, but like the whole point of really deep diving is that we don't go past this episode. So it gets, right. If we're stuck in a silo, meh. Yeah. Okay, it's like certain shots in this episode don't necessarily become super relevant or impactful until you've like seen more of the show too. So.
Right. True.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
You ready to check it out?
Yeah. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode will be Love Among Royals.
Yes, it is.
Love Among Royals, where we talk about the relationships of everybody.
That isn't Simon and Wilhelm.
That isn't Simon and Wilhelm, because we already did that. But we always end up talking about them anyways, so it'll probably happen. So stay tuned. And with that, all that's left to say is...
Let's start a revolution, baby.